Good afternoon and welcome to the LaRouche Show. It's Saturday, April 28th, 2012. I'm Harley Schlanger and I will be your host. It's no longer possible to ignore the fact that the Eurozone as a whole is on the verge of a devastating financial blowout, and that this blowout will not stop on the other side of the Atlantic, but will include among its casualties the highly over-leveraged, debt-ridden major banks of the United States. Other casualties will include the euro, which is good as gone, the dollar, as the speculative casino has reached the end of the line. Our regular listeners are already very familiar with the cases of Greece, Spain, Portugal, Ireland, and Italy, each of which has been placed under a virtual dictatorship of the European Union and the International Monetary Fund to protect the banks of the City of London and Wall Street. These dictatorships are imposing Bruning-style austerity, that is, the austerity of Chancellor Bruning, whose austerity paved the way for the imposition of Hitler in 1933 in Germany. But the policies of these dictatorships are only accelerating the rate of collapse of these nations' physical economies. And this week, Great Britain officially was added to the list of the basket cases, and France is not that far behind. Yet despite the ominous specter of a total financial collapse, including one which directly threatens the French banking system, the first round of the presidential election campaign in France, which ended last Sunday, was strangely devoid of any serious discussion about an economic alternative, except for the discussion of the presidential candidate, who will be my guest today. Jacques Cheminade and his campaign delivered several shocks this spring. First, by his ability to qualify for ballot status, which required obtaining the signatures of at least 500 mayors of cities and towns in France, which he did. And second, because despite efforts of the political class and the media to try to marginalize his campaign, it became clear during the course of the election campaign, even to some of the journalists, that he was the only one who was running a serious campaign with an alternative to the looming bankruptcy of the Eurozone. What shocked the usual controllers of politics and terrified the desperate bankers and their allies of the City of London, the financial oligarchy, is that Cheminade's proposals begin with a rejection of the accepted axioms, such as there is no alternative to the euro, and then offer a fully consistent, effective approach modeled on the anti-depression policies of U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt, with the economic nationalism of former French President Charles de Gaulle, and the commitment to social and economic justice of the leading French figure from the beginning of the 20th century, Jean Jaurès. While Jacques did not win the election last Sunday, I would say he's the only candidate who emerged from round one with his dignity intact. Further, I would say that a growing number of people realize that if France is to survive, if Europe is to survive, if the whole transatlantic is to survive, it will be through breaking with the axioms which are responsible for the present existential crisis and adopting the method of thinking presented by Jacques Cheminade during his campaign. So with that said, Jacques, welcome back to the LaRouche Show.
Yes, welcome to all of you.
What I'd like to begin with, and I know this is going to be a hard thing to keep to a short summary, but your campaign was not just the last couple of weeks, but actually a sustained organizing drive over 18 months. So I'd like you to give a summary of what it was that you did that put you in a position, you and your allies, especially the younger organizers in France, what was involved in getting you on the ballot and running this campaign.
Well, first, let me make two statements. The first one, to begin with, is that the French system allowed us to be covered more than ever in any other country, I think, except maybe in the past United States. This is not because of something good now, it's because it's inheritance of the De Gaulle principle in a presidential election. We were covered, but only in the last 5 weeks. Before, we were almost not covered. The second point is that the election was stolen to the Frenchmen, not only to me, but to the Frenchmen, by pollsters, journalists, political commentators, and the American embassy and the British embassy, What comes very clear is that they ask all the time a few questions that relate not at all to French politics, but to American politics and to England. It's very funny that the issue of Le Monde of this weekend, Le Monde 2, the magazine of Le Monde, has a big portrait from behind of the Queen of England, and it asks from Buckingham Palace to the Palace of the Élysée, which is a presidential house in France, from the Buckingham Palace to the Élysée, is there a president to seduce the Queen of England? First page. So that's quite revealing of what happened. Let me tell you about the campaign. First, we got these mayor signatures. It requires 500 signatures. We got 585, which means more than 1.5% of all French mayors, which is a lot. We started in October 2010, so a team of 15 people with me and our best from the former youth movement were involved in that. It was like a permanent organizing of these mayors, and for some to sign lasted 1 year. They signed for three reasons. First, people used to say it's because you came first. No, it's in part a minimal part for that. The second reason is that it is now in all France, including by our enemies, accepted that I was the only French politician who forecasted the crisis in 1995. So they were very impressed by that because they were not believing that it was true in 2002 or in 2006 and 7, but they saw the crisis hitting and they said, this guy told us the truth, the others didn't. Why? Are they incompetent or were they the ones benefiting from the system? So they said, in any case, we want this guy to be in. So these mayors are furious of the campaign launch against me at this point. Journalists call them saying, why you signed for Chaminade? Do you ignore this and that? Did you know that he was persecuted? Did you know? And they slam the phone at the journalists, yell at them, and some of them are going to run as candidates in the legislative elections coming now on June 12th. So that's for the mayors. They were really organized in depth, and we have a sort of mayors movement of people not only interested, but for some, not only voting for us, but organizing for us. This is about
Jacques,
half
these
of
were
them.
These were mayors from different parties, different parts of the country, from all over the country.
Well, it's people from the right wing, disgusted by Sarkozy, right wing, I mean, Gaullist, discounted by Sarkozy, and socialist or left wing radicals who were disgusted by the compromises of their parties, and non-political mayors. This is the three categories, but all interested by international affairs and economics.
And the discussions with them included discussions of your forecasts from the last campaign, global policies, the euro crisis, everything, right?
Everything. Oh, yeah, in depth. And the fact that my accounts were rejected in 1995 by the Constitutional Council under Roland Dumas. And Roland Dumas acknowledged that he rejected my accounts because I was not very skillful, while Chirac and Balladur, who had were to be rejected, were very skillful. So everybody knows that's not the reason. And in any case, if a matter of law is to be skillful or not, it means that we are no more in a state which obeys to any law. So that's the case of France today. So people start to think about it. What happened is that we got, and that's the media campaign, silence at the beginning of the campaign. Between January 1st and March 19th of this year, we got 0.4% of the total audiovisual media coverage, while the other candidates got 99.6%.
Right.
Pollsters and commentators organized the election with a confrontation of two couples, Sarkozy against Hollande, the so-called traitor to the Gaullist movement, Sarkozy, and Hollande, a mild socialist. And the second couple is Mélenchon, the leftist, and Marine Le Pen, the extreme right wing. So this was organized like that to catch the attention of people. 1 month before the election, which means 1 month before we were really covered by the media, two-thirds of the French had already decided what was going to be their vote, which vote they would cast. So in the last weeks, I got media coverage as much as the others, because it's a law in the audiovisual media. But in the written press, I got 0.6% of the total coverage in the written press, in the written media. So almost nothing as coverage to begin with. So as soon as I was in, the operation against me started, because I was covered. The French law compels an equal media coverage for all candidates in the audiovisual media. So the operation started by the same people that attacked us in 1995, exactly the same person. Le Monde, the main French newspaper, the social liberal Le Monde, decided not to cover me at all. It was like the times of Stalin or Goebbels. They had 9 pictures of other candidates, not mine.
Now, isn't that a violation of the equal coverage, or does that not apply to the...
No, because it doesn't apply to the written press.
And
then there was a libel against me, a slanderous article. We are going to check all that with our lawyers, and then nothing at all. Le Figaro and Le Parisien published slander articles, and on the TV and radios, the Sarkozyte media, the media from the public French public that are public in France, nationalized, were all awful, horrible, and the liberal socialists were also awful. The private networks were, after some 1 week and a half of hesitation, were relatively honest. So the main slanders launched were first Obama's mustache. That was big, and they made a big mistake because now everybody in France knows it.
Yeah, you know, the picture, there was some coverage in the that we saw, which had the very prominent pictures of the posters from the United States.
Well, in my first street intervention, there was a journalist from the French media who, during 3 hours, went after me with a little picture representing Obama with a mustache and saying, it's not a shame. So I said, my name is not Shame, it's Chaminade. So, that was one. Then the Queen of England, money comes from drugs. That was a second. An American connected cult, even evangelist cult. And we have American money to pay, and we pay the mayors. So they said La Rouge is billionaire. So I silenced them by saying that's an absolute mistake, and you got check in, you check Forbes, you check anything, and you would see. And this discredits all the rest we are saying. So this thing stopped at some point.
Jacques, I want to say one thing on the Queen of England, which was very interesting, is that the day after that appeared, I believe in The Economist ran a story on it, the next day there was the huge fine levied against the Queen's personal bank.
Yeah, this is what I said.
Yeah.
Look, I said first it's a Couch Bank story, and then if you are Chinese and you say that the British monarchy is running drugs, it would tell you immediately yes, because of the Opium Wars. And you know the French were also involved in it. So that silence, and the Queen of England disappeared from the screens at that point. So then you had the last slanders, who were the most efficient ones. Is the first big slander is that I had got only 0.28% in the election in 1995. So they wanted to give the impression to people that to vote for me was worthless.
So it's a waste of the vote if you support someone
with
ideas.
The vote, exactly. Yeah. Then they said that because of my space policy, I am a waku, so a crazy man.
Yeah.
So they mentioned this, they take this wrong translation of the thermonuclear corridor between Mars and the Moon, and they make pictures about that, they showed it. So then this stopped at some point because experts on the space said that my program was perfectly okay, and it's a shame that other candidates did not raise the issue of the space. So, but still now there are comics who point out that I did not get a lot of votes on Earth, but maybe I got a lot in Mars and so on and so forth. So this crazy thing. It was said that I believe in little green men and so on. So then that was one. Then the other thing that played against us in the vote is that a lot of people saw that I am a honest man, serious man, but unfit for the dirt of politics, too clean to be involved in the dirt of politics. People said you should remain as a philosopher, as a thinker, as a man behind the scenes. You remember, it's very similar to what they would tell Lynn.
Yeah.
But you should not be involved in politics. So the other fact is that, people, a lot of people, were so easily embezzled against the space program shows that they have a stupid attachment to practical issues and to immediate matters. That was clear also in the process of the election. Then what's funny is that I got about 170 TV and radio interviews. It was 7 per day. You can imagine what it is to see 7 times per day you want to take a shower after that. So 7 times per day. With the result that the name of LaRouche is more known in France than in any other country of the world, and I repeat it, maybe except the U.S., but everybody knows now Cheminade, LaRouche, his friend, what it is, what is it, what happens. So it's a matter of social discussion. Everybody at the end acknowledged 3 things about me, they did not, even those that did not vote for me. First, it was throughout the press, or the not Le Monde, Le Figaro, and Le Parisien, but other press and the television and the radios, that I was the first to forecast the financial crisis in 1995, the first American, French politician to do so. So, and that LaRouche also did it in the U.S. So this is, then, this is acknowledged by everybody. Then, that I am very capable in economics. Michel Rocard publicly acknowledged it in front of the Council for Economic, Social, and Environmental Matters, where all the 10 candidates were involved. I was the only candidate, others were represented.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that, he said, Cheminade is the best in economics, I must mention it, but I don't know what he's, why he's involved in a presidential campaign.
Yeah, what does economics have to do with running a country?
Yes, exactly. But he said, this I want to advertise for him in front of all of you. So this produced also a shock. Then the third thing I acknowledge is that I was the first to denounce the Eurex operation against the French debt, which on April 16, the Eurex derivatives market produced a new product to speculate against the French debt. Mm-hmm. So what I said on that, and I had a street demonstration in front of the Eurex offices in Paris, was picked up by everybody, and everybody acknowledged that it was me. It has to be Cheminade who raised the issue, said most of the press.
Mm-hmm.
So this week,
Jacques, let me just to ask you a question. First of all, let me identify for our listeners who may have joined late. This is the LaRouche Show. It's April 28th, 2012, and my guest today is the candidate, the former candidate for president of France, who just completed a very effective presidential campaign, not effective in terms of votes for the reasons he's just outlined for the last 15 minutes, but a campaign of ideas that probably has changed France. And I imagine with the election campaign, now that it's Sarkozy versus Hollande, I imagine there's some of the media missing you, because what I'm reading is that this is the worst campaign they've ever
boring.
Seen. Yeah?
But to give you a sense of that, I went, when was it, this morning, to have my electric razor repaired. So I entered the shop. And the guy said, oh, but you came 3 weeks ago. Why you are coming back? I said, no, I did not come. But I saw you. He said, yeah, you saw me on TV. You are Jacques Cheminade? He said, oh, I thought that you looked like him, that you were not Jacques Cheminade. I am going to tell you what I have not voted for you because I thought you were an American evangelical cult, as the radio said, and also that you are crazy to go to Mars. This is what they tried to spread. So, but then I went to the Saint-Lazare station, it's a train station in Paris, and I picked up your brochure, your little pamphlet on the campaign. So I read it on the train, and the guy who was in front of me saying, oh, you are reading Cheminade's literature. I said, yes. Oh, he said, the other guy said, but he's the one who knows about economics. He's the one who forecasted the crisis. You should think he's very capable. You should believe that. So it's funny mm-hmm. how the thing is coming in the perception of people. When I am in the street now, I was go to buy a few things. I was stopped 3 to 4 times by people saying, "Oh, you are the one." Most of them said, "I did not vote for you, but I agree with what you said. It's very funny. You brought the issues, the real issues, but I could not vote for you because I would vote for the masses, and I was convinced that you are alone."
Jacques, let me ask you on this. The old story on France is exactly what you're describing, that people get small when it comes to these things, that this is what de Gaulle was fighting. This is still the case, then, the pragmatism, the localism. Is that the dominant factor in terms of the population?
Well, I say that de Gaulle made a mistake. The French are not veals, but in these situations, they are under influence of the center of power, because France is a very centralized power, and they become wet chicken. So, yeah, it's true, because a lot of people now, what happened is two things. First, they said, this guy is alone. He may be right, but he's alone. They read, most of them read my declaration of candidacy. Two or three persons told us, it's the only one where there were not grammar mistakes or spelling mistakes. And people also, well, they have lost the belief in creativity. They know that it exists, but they have lost the belief in creativity, they become gregarious out of fear.
I saw one of the slanders against you said that you can't be serious because you believe that children should sing in choruses. You shouldn't be taken seriously because you believe children should sing in choruses.
Yeah, oh, that was a big thing also.
Yeah.
The big discussion, because it took that out of the program. And this created for us excellent relations with groups organizing choruses in the suburbs, also with certain youth movements in the suburbs, and also the head of an orchestra in Congo who tries to promote classical music. So we made all kind of connections. Also, for example, you see France is a very literate or pretends to be literate country. When I mentioned Bertin's friend, engineer Bertin, under the de Gaulle period,
mm-hmm.
he's the one who invented the aerotrain, which is a magnetic levitation train
right.
based on air cushion. So this was killed by the Polytechnic engineers, degraded, and the financial banks. So the Bertin conception of a laboratory of research, a firm being a permanent laboratory of research, he was depositing like 40 inventions per year, 40 mm-hmm. or 50, one per week.
Mm.
So this, and the Bertin's son wrote to us saying, "We like a lot what you did, I'm going to vote for you." Fourastier's son, Fourastier was a head of the Fulbright grants program in the 1940s. So the son said, "I'm so glad that you mentioned my father. You are right. We like what you said, etc." Also, a lot of experts on space wrote to us, you are right, the others are wrong, but we are not involved in politics, but we want to give you this support."
Well, Jacques, with what you've said, it's clear that your campaign... I also understand that there was something like 40 million copies of your programmatic material mailed to every voter.
Yes.
So these ideas got out.
And we got out brochures, we got out 1 million besides that. And the posters were throughout the country with a picture and maybe you have seen it, with a picture and the 6-point program.
Yeah, it was on the website. I saw it there.
Yeah.
But here's my question. It's clear now that with the election coming up, neither Sarkozy nor Hollande have anything to say about how to resolve this crisis, which is coming down like a runaway freight train. Are people aware of this? Are they concerned about it?
Yeah, they are aware, but they still expect that Hollande may do something. So about Sarkozy, let me tell you, he's going to the extreme right wing. He's trying to get the Le Pen vote. He says, I am not with her, with Marine Le Pen, with this proto-fascist candidate who pictures herself as social. It's this new social fascist anti-Islam, like a Strasser brother from the Hitler period, but being anti-Islam. So Sarkozy, let me mention that, I don't know if you pick it up, but before the program were five candidates, I was just before Sarkozy, were interviewed in a program called the Acts and Words Program, mm-hmm. Les Paroles et les Actes. Like 15 minutes before the program, they produced this teleconference, this video conference between Sarkozy and Obama. And Sarkozy said, we are going to win together, Mr. President. And Obama answered, I support fully your fight, Mr. Sarkozy. So you have it, very clearly.
Yeah.
So Sarkozy said also, I am enraged against that Cheminade. I did not even knew him. Now he's running a show in the media, like in the Cannes Festival. So I answered, I don't know what I was doing, but I am sure that Sarkozy is playing in a movie called The Night of the Living Dead. So everybody, he's throughout the internet. This thing is throughout the internet. So that's one thing. Hollande is working deals with the banks. He says, I would do three things. Forbid derivatives without coverage of a real operation. Not cover the speculative activities of the banks. The state would not cover the speculative activities of the banks.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to prevent the banks to speculate with their own equity funds, you call that?
Yeah.
But no Glass-Steagall, no credit system, and maintenance of the French or the European conception of a universal bank.
But Jacques, isn't it the case that the French banks are going to be hit with huge needs for refinancing?
And oh, yeah, it's true.
What will Hollande do?
But that's why they keep the money from the European Central Bank that's loaned to them, 1%, 3 years, and 1 billion, so 1,000 billion. So the ones that kept that money are the French, Spanish, and British banks, mainly, mm-hmm. and Deutsche Bank. So all these European banks are belly up, in fact.
Yeah.
Without the European Central Bank, they would be crushed. Banque de Paris et Pays-Bas, the main French bank, and probably it was the first world bank in terms of activities, not in terms of equity. It was 12th or 15th,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of activities. So this bank has about 500 billion in a off the balance sheet,
mm-hmm.
and nobody knows what it is. It's toxic, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And this bank, in the main 40 French firms, in the whole boards, 47% of these boards are with members of this bank. So it's a monopoly, it's a financial monopoly, which is rotten from inside. That's the situation.
Well, but then when this situation hits with the Spain going bankrupt, the Spanish banks heading into the drain, the question is going to come up of the money for the French banks. And is it realistic to assume that Hollande can be pulled out of supporting the banks? Or is he going to make a deal with the banks?
Very difficult to say. The fight would be, there are people in the Socialist Party that hate us, saying we're anti-Semitic, we're extreme right-wing. This did not work. After seeing me 1 week, it disappeared completely. But there was still this slander campaign of part of the Socialist Party. Another part is very interested about what we're doing, but they said, we don't want to speak to you publicly at this point. Let's mm-hmm. see after the mm-hmm. election. So there is a mess. It's a total mess at this point. And none has the character, le homme de caractère, as de Gaulle would say, has the guts to fight frontally. When Hollande went to see the city of London, he said, I am not a dangerous man. He said that. So, and he met the American and British press, and he said, look, we the socialists privatize more than anybody else. He is like that. He has no substance.
Now, he says he's going to oppose the austerity package, the so-called fiscal package. But again, that sounds like a lot of hot air.
Well, certain people say that he wants an European cover to continue the same policy and not to be not to be identified with the same policy. So this would not work. The people are not stupid in France, and everything I said makes them less stupid.
I saw a couple of things, Jacques, just on this, to continue on the economic situation, that I believe it was Michel Rocard who was talking about a Franklin Roosevelt 2012
yes.
idea. And secondly, the word Glass-Steagall, the two words, are popping up quite often in France. So I assume this does create a potential for a shift.
Oh, yeah. Well, Rocard is fully for Glass-Steagall. He is not. He is not to drop the euro. He says that the European banks should lend money to the equivalent of the strategic investment fund or Caisse des Dépôts in France, which are the French equivalent of the Credit Anstalt for Wiederaufbau.
Mm-hmm.
So he said the European Central Bank should lend money at 0% or 0.1% interest rates, and these institutions should in turn lend money to the industry, science, technology, and so on. That's what he's saying at this point. But he said the situation, the discussion is the French presidency. He calls that a collective political idiocy.
Now, the other thing I saw that was interesting was the response you were getting from the French African population, the Middle Eastern population, but particularly the French African, on your proposals for the TransAqua project. You went to visit that, I believe, back a ways. Is that getting some, the idea of France taking a role as a global development?
Well, I was just this afternoon with the people of the revolutionaries from the Democratic Republic of Congo, who hate Kabila. And what's happening is that they are going to organize a conference on Francophony, on the French language, in Kinshasa, at the same time that the Rwanda people are invading Congo, killing people. For example, coltan. Coltan is this thing needed for handies, for all kind of technological stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, Rwanda is one of the important exporters of coltan, and they have not 1 gram in the country. It's all looted from Congo.
Huh.
This should be known. So these people were enthusiastic about my campaign. They distributed leaflets for me, but what is difficult for them is to conceive something sustained and constant. I was also at the Congress of the French Africans, where the woman in charge called to vote for Hollande. But in my way out, I was met by like 100 people who said, no, we are not going to vote for Hollande, we like you. And the TF1, the main French TV, published something where I was, who published a 1 minute 30 seconds, where I was introduced to the about the room. There were about 1,100 people, and I was welcomed by the room. So this creates in the Hollande camp all kind of curiosity and at the same time fears of the potential influence that our ideas may have. It's very interesting the way they react. They react the French way by silence.
Well, on this, the other issue that I think is an important one is that, of course, Sarkozy played a major role, at least in terms of the diplomatic side, of supporting the overthrow and murder of Gaddafi. And Juppé...
Well, not only, he's supporting Kabila in Congo, who is killing his own population.
Well, and then Juppé is one of the most aggressive going to the United Nations, the French foreign minister, calling for full support of the Syrian opposition, which U.S. military is identifying as Iraqi al-Qaeda.
Yeah, I know. Juppé is falling into a state of mind who is extremely unbalanced. He has funny declarations. All these people are losing their minds. You have to see how it's working.
Mm-hmm.
Sarkozy is losing his mind in the campaign. He said now Strauss-Kahn is supporting Hollande because he said that he was victim of a setup in New York, and the setup he pretends organized by me. Could you imagine that me, Sarkozy, would organize a setup against Strauss-Kahn? Strauss-Kahn, on the contrary, is organizing a setup for Hollande. He's becoming crazy to raise these issues.
Yeah.
Hollande appears more that a middle-of-the-road, relatively honest, with no character politician. So he's going to win, not because he's liked, but because people reject Sarkozy.
You know, it's very much like the U.S. In a certain way, in that there are very, very few people who really like Mitt Romney, who's likely to be the Republican nominee.
Yeah.
But the Republicans or the independents dislike Obama so much they'll support Romney, whereas a lot of Democrats are saying they're going to support Obama just because they're so scared of Romney and the right wing of the Republican Party. But there's no love or support. And I was thinking about the identification of your campaign by you and then also in the French press of being a Gaullist, a left Gaullist or a Jaurès de Gaulle figure.
This is what I said. So now people said that in 1995, people said it's impossible to be with de Gaulle and Jaurès at the same time. This time, there were not attacks on that because it was too dangerous for them. The attacks were all centered against Lin, in fact,
yeah,
against the American, what I could represent, my mentor, my guru. They said my mentor, my guru, my controller. They dropped all these things, which I laughed at them. I said, look, you believe that I could be controlled? You are controlled. I'm not.
Well, Jacques, for the American audience, give us a sense of what, when you talk about Jean Jaurès and Charles de Gaulle as representing a tradition that you are reviving, what does that mean?
But these are people who said no to the merchants of the temple, and Jaurès was killed for that, and de Gaulle was constantly under attack for that. They represented a spirit in the French nation that the presidential election, in a way, still has a shadow of it, which means that it's a decisive questions for the nation that are at stake. So this, in this campaign, did not work on the surface. But in depth, I think, these issues are on the table, and my campaign put these issues on the table. Look, they were saying that I was the one, this is generally recognized, that the one who forecasted the financial crisis in 1995. But nonetheless, that was the official line, I was a big waku and eccentric. So it doesn't fit, and people know it doesn't fit. So they ask themselves questions about the journalists, about the political class, and they said, look, this doesn't work. So they vote alone to see what happens, but at the same time, they expect something else. It's a very funny frame of mind in people. So that's why, this I must stress, we are presenting 100 candidates in the legislative elections who are on June 10.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all contacts that are reviving. We have contacts even, I don't know if you remember, but even people that left 30 years ago are coming back, giving us money, supporting us.
Uh-huh.
So that's funny. Also, new people. We had more than 1,500 mails of support, so we are processing that. It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, among them, there are already people that want to be candidates and are financing their own campaign. Because this costs, a campaign like that costs between 6,000 and 10,000 euros.
Mm-hmm.
Jacques, because in France, you have to pay. In France, you have to pay for the ballots and the declaration of candidacy.
Uh-huh.
So on the 90,000 votes that we got, half of them at least are militant votes, people that know very well why they voted. And we get a lot of messages of people saying, give shit to them, continue to do what you started. I'm delighted of seeing the way you handled them. Your cold blood is admirable. I would have left the room and you maintained your position, and so on and so forth. So, and also people noticed that it's something that evokes the history of the nation. That's also something who has been very important that came out.
Well, we have about 20 minutes left, and one of the things I'd like to get into is, as the person who forecast the financial crisis, you also presented a whole series of alternatives, and the alternatives included national banking and a credit policy, the space program, nuclear power development, overseas infrastructure projects. But I'd like to just start by asking you specifically on the Jaurès question. Is there any response in the Socialist Party, since he was one of the founders of the modern Socialist Party? Is there any resonance when you talk about him? Do people go back and look at his history and his writings, or is this sort of just a forgotten figure?
Of course they do, but the more they say, the less they would acknowledge it on the official. In the field, yes, we have a lot of people who said, you are the expression of that idea in French history, and we understand that you represent an idea and not a territory or a population. You represent beyond what France is, an idea.
And is there still a sense of De Gaulle as a real leader compared to what we've seen with
They see that, but they think that it cannot come back. They don't think yet that I could be that. They think that I am right, I am fine. People who would otherwise vote for us, about 1 million people at this point. They said, I'm right, I'm fine, but I am not De Gaulle because I... They have not the image of it. It's very funny with Obama's mustache, because I said, you should stop being obsessed by the image, and you should look at the process, and with the eyes of 1934, 1935, and then you look at the United States, what's happening now, what's happening in England, and with the same eyes, now let's look at what's happening in France. Then the journalist said, oh, we have another question for you. So, but people are not stupid. They see that
they also see the collapse of the economy, the numbers of poor and unemployed are growing. Of course, France is not yet at the level of Spain. But
have still social protections more or less working, more than in Germany, by the way, which means that in Germany, they have what they say now is that the Germans have chosen the wages to maintain relatively a high purchasing power for, let's say, between 60% and 65% of the workers, and the other ones are thrown to the garbage can with the Hartz I, Hartz II, Hartz III, and Hartz IV, all these laws creating instability and unemployment. In France, the wages are, let's say, the purchasing power of the wages are lower, but at the same time, there are measures to give a bit of money to people that are unemployed or who cannot find a job. So there is still this type of safety net. But at the same time, the public service is being destroyed. That's the most... France has a tradition of the public service. Mm-hmm. So, for example, highways are given to private firms, and the private firms are running these highways. There's more and more charges to pay if you are sick, so you have to pay much more. Private insurance are favored. In school, the best schools now are private, and the wealthy families put their children in private schools. The universities are still in a worse and worse situation, and it's a grande école where more or less 3 to 4% of the French students go, which is for high class. These are for the best and the brightest. This still is being maintained. So it's in the cultural aspect that people see the most a crisis, because what one of the big things that was thrown against me is my proposal to ban the violent video games.
Right.
So they asked a question about what happened in Toulouse and Montauban, these killings by this crazy guy. Mm-hmm. So I answered, not on the video games. So then they said, but you are against video games. Has this something to do with what happened? I said, yes, of course. It creates disinhibition to kill, and this has been employed by the American army and now by the Islamists as well. So I said, oh. So 3 days after, it appeared that Merah, the killer in Toulouse and Montauban, was trained by violent video games, that this guy in Norway, Breivik, also,
right,
and that Merah was showing even to a kid, a 15-year-old kid, all these violent video games and unbearable scenes from the Israeli-Palestinian war, and that the mother of this kid protested to the police 3 times, and there was no persecution of Merah, because Merah was an informant, a part-time informant for the services.
So the killer, the person who shot into the synagogue and the person who shot the soldiers was an informant.
Well, he asked to meet one of the guys of the police who were after him because he knew him.
Huh.
That's a fact.
And did Sarkozy use this terror as part of his anti-Islamic campaign?
He tried, and Marine Le Pen, of course, tried to the utmost.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work too much because what's happening is more social than religious. At this point in France, you have a lot of marriages between people from this, coming from Algeria, Tunisia, or Morocco, and people who were born from two or three generations in France. You have more and more of that. So the paradox is that the fear is because there is a loss of the public service. It's people living, the people that vote for the extreme right wing are usually people living from 30 to 50 kilometers from the center of the cities. There is no transportation from suburb to suburb. It only goes from the suburb to the center, and then you have to go back from the suburb to the other, from the center to the other suburb. Mm-hmm. So you have all these people, they cannot, for example, there was a killing of kids, and these kids were practicing video games, and the family, or the father and the mother, had given them the video games because they would get up at 6 o'clock to go to work and come back at their homes at 8:39 in the evening because they were working so far from the way they were staying. So the kids are no more controlled or no more followed or no more educated by the family. So this created a big crisis, and these people get very bitter, and you have a danger that it turns really bitter.
Well, in addition to the social breakdown, then, you also have a serious decline on the of industrial production. But I wanted to ask about the nuclear situation, because in Germany, of course, the Fukushima tragedy, which was the earthquake and the tsunami, was used to shut down the German nuclear sector. What's the situation in France right now?
Well, in terms of the gross national product, industry in France represents a bit less than in England. I have to take that into account. So for the nuclear question, I went to Fessenheim, to the old nuclear center, mm-hmm. a nuclear plant. And I was there. I was invited to visit the whole plant, including the most secret parts of the plant. I was allowed with a team of people of our our presidential team. So then there was an interview with a trade unionist. And at the end, one of the unionists, this means when we can reach people, what happened? One of the unionists from the Force Ouvrière, which is most acquainted to the socialist, he said, look, we had the candidates here. We had Sarkozy. We had another one. I don't remember who it was. And Chaminade. His Chaminade is the one that knows the best, and I'm going to vote for him. He knows the best the issue. Mm-hmm. So what's happening is that Hollande had a deal with the ecologists, but the ecologists got a very poor vote. So what Hollande is going to do probably is to close down one plant, this plant of Fessenheim, and even probably not. There will be a big fight over that. And he's still going to have the other plant, the new in Flamanville, which is the new EPR, the third generation advanced plant built. So, but the mayor of Flamanville, who is a socialist, signed for me because he doesn't trust his own party on that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very funny the way it works. At this point, it's not like in Germany. The debate, people are much less involved in these ecology fantasies. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, the Fukushima shock was big. Now it's little by little losing its impact, but still you have it.
Well, Jacques, we have the crisis of the Eurozone right upon us. You've announced 100 candidates for the legislative elections. What should happen right now in France and in Europe? What should be done?
Oh, what should be done is immediately what they told. What will be your first measure? What will be your first measure? So I said it would be two things at the same time. Call for immediate meeting of a parliamentary commission to check the crisis and separate the banks, cut the banks in two. My program was cut the banks in two to make it...
There would be Glass-Steagall.
Different, yes, sure. to make it different from Hollande, who wants to separate only the activities. Because people were saying, all the journalists were saying, you say the same as Hollande, you say the same. So no, I'm going to cut in two. It's like, you journalists, if I will say that you change the way you act or kick you out. That's the difference. Yeah. The guy said, so that was funny. So that, and at the same time, block certain prices, because people cannot pay anymore for the price of gasoline or for certain foodstuffs. So you have to block certain prices, and you can do it in France during 6 months with a mandatory order from the government. That would be the two things to do. Then I would go to Brussels, and I would tell, look, Europe has been absolutely destroyed, and we should make a new Europe. If you don't want a new Europe, I do like the goal. I go back to my country, and I do my own.
So your proposal then would include going out of the euro and into the franc?
Yes, but only not as immediate thing, because Marine Le Pen and a lot of sovereignists call for that as a miracle solution.
Right.
It's not. It's necessary if there is not a change in Europe, and there won't be. So the way to do it is to say this is the way to separate, to relaunch big projects. A French franc, I call it a polytechnique franc, would be a franc for long-term projects and developments. And if other countries want to have also projects, two or three of them in Europe, we have a common euro, which means not a currency for domestic exchanges, but a common euro for the projects. And that could be maintained if people contribute to these big, great projects.
And so that would be the equivalent of a state credit institution or a national...
Oh, yeah, bank. Sure. And that would change completely Europe. You have to get rid of two French laws from 1993, from August 1993 and May 1998, who prohibit the French bank to issue credit to the state. And the other one, he forbids the French banks to receive order from anybody from Europe or from France. So this has to be get rid of. And there is also an article, Article 123 of the European Functioning Treaty, it's called, who has to be immediately abrogated, who said that the banks cannot lend money to the states. So this is only an immediate issue after the whole thing has to be changed, of
right.
course. But in immediate, that should be done immediately. So
now,
Hollande would never do it. And Sarkozy would do the contrary.
Well, assuming Sarkozy loses, it's next weekend, right? Next Sunday.
Yeah, he would probably lose. And at
so
this point,
if he loses, this changes Europe, because it's been the Sarkozy miracle, or Merkozy as they're called sometimes, that has been the dominant axis in Europe, of course, under a British banking dictatorship. What happens if Sarkozy is gone and Hollande is in? To the
well, the interesting thing with Hollande is not Hollande himself. It's the base of Hollande, which means the base of the Socialist Party, the Communist Party, and this and the French left-wing party, the Mélenchon party, and part of the Gaullists who are disgusted with Sarkozy. This makes a majority. So it's on the basis of this majority, which would be not really a left-right, but it will be a kind of what I said, a left-goist majority who should change things. So Hollande, if Hollande doesn't do it, he has a base. His base would protest and go to the streets against him. So it's there that our role comes with our views, our project, and our international outlook.
Also, the parliamentary campaign, obviously, is going to be oriented toward that base.
Because during the parliamentary campaign, a run against the euro can have already taken place, or against the franc, or the disintegration of Europe. It's now. It's now. The French presidential second round is on the 6th, on the 7th, it's your new president, and the legislative elections are on June 10.
Well, looking back on this whole process... looking back on this whole process of the last 18 months, it's clear that there were things that you accomplished. accomplished with it that will take some time to really be realized. But how would you look at this in terms of the effect of your campaign?
Well, we are in a phase of digestion that could be greatly accelerated by the, I say that in terms of French cuisine, by the, how you say that, by the, the thing that's hot, by the...
spicy?
By the spicy, the spices that they threw in the campaign, it can accelerate the digestion.
Yeah.
At this point, no, it can go very fast. And what happens in Germany would also be extremely important. I got various reports from Germany saying that in the field, it revigorates people that there is such a campaign in France, that could be such a campaign in France.
Well, and we see now a very significant reaction against the EMS and against the fiscal package coming from within the leading parties in Germany.
And also in Spain, in Portugal and Ireland, this is regaining force. In the French campaign, I mentioned the case of Iceland as a case of resistance, Argentina, and of course, Malaysia and the Mahathir.
Argentina, of course, just very quickly, that's a special place for you because you lived there, I think, the first, 16, 18 years of your life. They were watching the campaign, and what Cristina Kirchner is doing there is quite interesting. Is there any reflection of the Argentine?
Well, I had two or three big slanders by Pagina 12, this Horacio Verbitsky creep, who tried to slander me, slanderline, and everything. But then I had this interview on the French, on the Argentinian TV. It was 6 minutes, and it was perfectly good. So it creates, they thanked me, and they were very interested by the very fact that I exist.
And I think the Argentine model, which was a rejection of the IMF austerity, might actually be a good one for people in Greece and Spain to look at. Huh?
And even in France, there's a lot of discussion about it at this point.
Okay, well, we've been talking with Jacques Chaminade. We have a couple minutes left. Jacques, you look at the United States now. We have an absurd presidential election, but we do have a slate of five candidates. What advice would you give the five LaRouche candidates who are running for Congress?
Go fully for the creative principle and explain it to people in the most audacious and shocking way, but at the same time in the words and the images that they can understand. It's sometimes very difficult, and I saw the message, the reports from Kesha Rogers in Texas describing how well she's doing it. So Kesha, Diane Sayer, all these people, I think, should continue doing what they do, having the immediate challenges and the long-term challenges as a one. I think that's absolutely key for people.
Well, I'll give you a very quick report from an event today in the town of Alvin, Texas, which is in Keisha's district. They have what they call the Founders Day Parade or the Frontier Day Parade. And so we had a float, an entrance into the parade, and we had someone dressed as an American Revolutionary soldier, someone as a cowboy, and someone as an astronaut. And it was followed by our truck with Keisha in the truck and posters that said, develop NASA, NOAPA 21, and impeach Obama. And so it was very colorful banners, and as it approached the reviewing stand, the reviewer said, and here we have Keisha Rogers, Democrat for Congress, and she's for progress, she's for NASA, and oh my goodness, impeach Obama? And then he said, thank you, Keisha. So I think they're taking to heart your idea of boldness and audaciousness.
Yeah, that's very, very good, because he made it impeach Obama and the space program. Here, too, we are going to get rid of Sarkozy. That's a good point. But we are getting Hollande, which is not the best of all points.
Well, remember, Obama said, we will be with you, and if Sarkozy loses, maybe we'll have Obama going out the door also.
Yeah, this is what I think, deeply, that it proves that a person who is described as holding firmly power because of his dirty deals and tricks can lose it because the population has enough courage to vote against him. Not enough courage to vote for something much better, but enough courage to reject it. And I think this can happen very soon in the United States.
And that's why the creative principle. So we just go from negating the negative to actually asserting a positive alternative.
What I said here is that the problem is that we have to emerge with our candidates, because then Romney would have the same mustache as Obama.
Well, Jacques, thanks for joining us today. And I want to extend you an open invitation anytime you're free. To come with us on the LaRouche Show. We always enjoy hearing from you, and congratulations on a campaign.
We should speak about culture, who was a great absent in the French election, and that's why they freaked out so much on the choruses.
Absolutely. We'll have to do that on some other occasion.
Yes.
And give our best regards and congratulations to all the young people who worked with you on the campaign. And that'll do it for us today on the LaRouche Show. Thank you for joining us. We will be back next Saturday at 3 p.m. Thank you.